You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
Well, we're going to dive right in because I need to end tonight a little bit promptly because we have so many things going on literally around the clock getting ready for Meadowbrook Christmas Live, and they're doing some transitions and technical things tonight, and so we don't want to wear everybody out. Could I ask you to pray for something too? Pray for everybody involved, vocalists, the technicians, and all of that, because they've got a lot on. They're putting in all kinds of hours, and we want them to be well and refreshed and everything. Amen? Amen. So that's our team for this weekend, and you lift them up in prayer. Well, way back 23 weeks ago of teaching, I looked and it was May 5th, 1987. No. May 5th of this year, I started a teaching on the Holy Spirit. We have done an exhaustive study, but we have not exhausted everything about the Holy Spirit. You need to know that because He's eternal. Nor have we even touched all that there is. But my goal was for us to go through and have a body of teaching. A body of teaching. Here are my notes. If you can see that. Here are my notes from 23 weeks. And that's the notes that made it to this point. And you know, there's so much more that goes into that. I wanted us as Meadowbrook Church to have a body of teaching for clarification, for balance, so that we would have something that we could go back to. And hopefully we can put this in numerous forms so that it can be a reference for us. Now, of course, you have your Bible. That's reference. But what I've tried to do is gather and bring together so that we see, as best we can, a good, complete view of the Holy Spirit. And we'll know about it. Because, unfortunately, and I told you this early in the series, unfortunately, we've either had a weird experience of people around the Holy Spirit or no experience around the Holy Spirit. And there's a wonderful balance and fullness of the Holy Spirit that you want and must have in your life, and we want and must have as a body when we gather together. And so that's been the purpose of this. Now, let's go ahead and jump into John chapter 14, verse 16, and we're going to do a kind of a conclusion or a little bit of a wrap-up here tonight. John 14, verse 16, Jesus is speaking, and Terry, I don't know if you can do this on the fly, but I'm going to add verse 17. Can you do that or no? I'll just read it to him. Okay. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper." Some translations say comforter. We'll come to that in a moment. That He, the comforter, who is this comforter? The Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. Now, let me just insert this real quick. What Jesus was saying is the Holy Spirit is going to come and actually replace Jesus' physical presence. This is important you understand this. Jesus was physically here present on the earth, and He said, "I'm going to leave. The Father's going to send the Holy Spirit," and He's literally going to replace Jesus' physical presence. Now, verse 17, it says this, "The Spirit of truth," He identifies Him, "whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you." And Jesus said, "And when He comes," and He will be where? In you. So this is important because we don't see the Holy Spirit, but we know the Holy Spirit. And it's because He is with us and because He is in us. Now, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father and He will give you another." Everybody say another. It's the Greek word allos, and it actually means this. If we work this all out, He is placed in this verse, and we've used this before. He will send another comforter or helper, meaning he is just like me, and He will do in my absence what I would do for you if I were present. So and we find this numerous places in the scripture, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Christ. So He is an exact representation of Jesus and the will of Jesus and the work of Jesus and the anointing that Jesus had. He was the one who anointed Jesus, and He is at work in our lives. Amen. So you do not need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would like Jesus, if Jesus was still in the earth, to hang out with you?
Yes.
Well, He said He's going to do exactly what, in my absence, He's going to do exactly and be exactly what I would be and do if I were here physically present with you. I like that. I said, I like that. Amen. Now, in the Amplified Bible for John 16, verse 7, he said, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Now, that was hard for the disciples to understand. How could it be better for us that you go away? And this is why. He said, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, and I want you to watch this in parentheses here, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Let me make a point of this first. The Comforter or the Helper, expanded in the Greek here, is this. Counselor. Anybody ever need a counselor? Hey, you cannot fix a problem by denying it's there. How many of you ever need a counselor? Okay. He's not just the great physician. He's the great psychiatrist. Serious. Counselor. Helper. Anybody ever need helper? Amen. Advocate on your behalf. Intercessor. Strengthener. Standby. What he is saying here, and it's so rich from the original language, that he is, the Holy Spirit, is anything and everything that he needs to be to help you in whatever way that you need help. Yes, y'all are missing this. The Holy Spirit is anything and everything that he needs to be to help you in whatever way that you need help. And you need to know this. And I just did this. I spit on my glasses again. It's just... you need to know this because if you, Psalm 91 even talks about toward the end of the Psalm that you call, he delivers those who call upon his name. You've got to know who he is or you won't call upon him. And if you know that the Holy Spirit is anything and everything that he would ever need to be to help you in whatever way that you would need help, you'd call upon him more. Let's go to James, and James said this, you do not have because you do not ask. And if I knew he could counsel me in a situation, I'm going to ask him, and I do. If I knew he could strengthen me in a situation and I needed strength, and I do, I will call upon him. I need your strength. I need your counsel. I need your guidance. I need you to do this. And do you think he'll ignore you?
No.
Do you ever have to leave a voicemail? No, I'm. He's there. He's here. He's with you to help you. Jesus introduced him as the helper. Anybody ever need comfort?
Yes.
This afternoon, Alicia and I had a precious, precious privilege. There's a lady in our church, precious lady, been here for a dozen or better years. She's 92 years old. Her brother, who's 88, passed away. They talked to each other on the phone several times every week. He lived in California. He passed away the other day. Well, because of her health and age and so forth, she's not able to travel to California. So she said, Pastor, she asked me on Sunday. She said, could I just come up to the church and we just do something? I'll bring a picture of my brother and could, you know, for her. And so here she is, it's her brother. She's 92 years old. Anybody here 92? How many would like to get to 92? Okay. Some of you are saying, not unless a few things change, but it was so precious because we took her up in my office and she had little flowers and little pictures of her brother throughout his life. And just to talk to her about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord and to read some scriptures and just to pray with her and that the Holy Spirit would comfort her and precious little tears, you know, on her face. And she's surrounded by her daughter and a couple friends. And you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit in my office to come help this precious little lady. So wherever you are, he can get to you. I said, wherever you are, he can get to you. You know, these miners that were trapped underground in Chile, or as they say, Chile, whatever's right. Yeah, I'm anxious to hear their story. They're sitting on their story right now because they want to make money on it. Seriously, they want movies and books and all. And so they're sitting on it. And I don't blame them, you know, because I'd be quitting my job as a miner. I wouldn't show up again the next day with your lunchbox and hat. What hole you want me? You know, it's like, I'm making movies and books now, you know. But I'm just wondering if there are any guys down there that knew Jesus. I guarantee you, even if they don't know him, I guarantee you most of them were calling out for him. Do you think he showed up? You call him, he's there. Amen. Anyway, let's keep plowing here. He is anything and everything you need him to be to help you in whatever way that you need helped. This is huge for me, that you are never alone and you are never without help. Say with me, I am never alone. Say it again, I am never alone and I am never without help. Now, you may not have people that can fill that bill around you. And people on their best day still are going to disappoint you somehow. But I don't care where you are and what your situation is. Call upon him. Know that he is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never let you down. You are never alone. You are never without help. Anybody happy about that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, his main ministry, and please get this out of the whole body of teaching that we're doing. His main ministry, 24/7, 168 hours a week. His main ministry, you ready for this? Is personal. It's personal. And we've got to make sure with a full view of the Holy Spirit that we emphasize properly his entire work. And don't limit the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit to just goosebumps accompanied by organ music. Don't limit the work of the Holy Spirit as I felt excited in the presence of in a service. Don't limit him. Because can I tell you, in the bulk of Scripture, that's a small portion of what he does. But 168 hours a week. Does anybody here spend 168 hours a week in special services? And no. You're living. You're trying to get yourself to sleep. You're waking up and facing a new day. And you get stuff in the mail and stuff on the phone and things happen at work and right around the corner and at your address. And his main ministry is personal. It's personal to you. The manifestation of power that Paul talks about, and Paul is our dominant writer on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me?
Yes.
See some of y'all. Stay with me here. Just a few more minutes. The main emphasis that Paul makes regarding the power of the Spirit of God, and it's important you get this, is for life change. That's moral change. And for help in life. That's grace. That's the not so much physical manifestation. Thank God for physical manifestation. But you've got to properly emphasize the whole work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have seen or listened to the ministry of Jesse Duplantis? Any?
Yes.
We've had him here in years past. Alicia and I know him personally and spent some time, and he and Kathy are precious, precious people. And you know what he told me one time? He said, I get so tired of people just wanting me to be funny. And he's funny.
Yeah.
But he said, I get so tired of people just wanting me to be funny. He said, they don't want to listen to me unless I'm funny. And you know, I think sometimes the Holy Spirit, he said, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And you're not even looking for me to do this. What I'm trying to emphasize to you is 168 hours a week. Doesn't it feel longer sometimes? He's with you to help you in whatever way that you need help. Can I get an amen to that? Now, regarding all that he is and all that he does, plus, get this, the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That was a good spot for an amen right there. The Holy Spirit, let me make it a little more exciting for you here. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you. And guess who he is? He is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. And he's not old and decrepit and worn out and just got an old scrapbook.
Yeah, hundreds of years ago, I raised Jesus from the dead.
The Holy Spirit is not in the memory business of, I remember. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. There's no diminishing of him, his power, his wisdom, or anything else. And he raised Jesus from the dead, the biggest thing that's ever happened. And he lives in you. I said he lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And he, you know, we just get amazed sometimes because we see somebody and they sang with Elvis.
Oh, really?
Or they knew somebody, or they were here, you know, some special historic event, and we're just amazed to see them, you know, some celebrity or whatever they would be. And I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Ancient of Days, who was there at creation, abides and lives in you. Why? Because he needs a ride? To help you. So, in regards to all that he is and does, plus he lives in you, we are his temple, and he's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, this is where I'm going to get on your nerves right here. There should be some real and noticeable difference in your life. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, there should be some real and noticeable difference in your life. I mean, we are equipped. Say, I am equipped. We are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We should do a little better in life than people who don't have the Holy Spirit in their life. We should be able to manage a little bit better. We should have some peace in the middle of crisis. We have access to wisdom. And when you have wisdom from God, guess what? You can outsmart the devil every time. And he's in us and he's with us. I'm trying to expand your faith a little bit tonight to know that he lives in you. And he'll help you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. There should be real and noticeable difference in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is actually supernatural. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that he's working in your life. And remember, we've talked about this. Spirit-born, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-formed. Part of the evidence that the character and life of God is being lived through you is the fruit of the Spirit starts to manifest in your life. Now get this, the fruit of the Spirit is actually quite supernatural. You know why I know that? Well, first of all, Scripture tells us it's the work of the Spirit. But secondly, we can't muster these qualities up very good for very long. How many of you know, and we're not patient for very long, or kind, or long-suffering, or gentle for very long. We can act up just for a little bit. We're in the grocery store. I saw the pastor in the next aisle. Children, be sweet. I've come around the aisle before at Walmart or Target or something, and people are just jerking a knot in their little kids, you know. And Jesus loves children. Hi, Pastor. We shouldn't clean up our act because a pastor's around. Plus, what am I going to do, write you a ticket? I learned a long time ago when I was a youth pastor, I'm not responsible for your behavior. Amen. If I was, you'd be in trouble. I'm responsible to get the message to you, to love you with all my heart, to pray for you, and to make sure you get the pure, unadulterated word and that you're fed in a safe place. That's my job. But when you walk out of here, you're on your own. And you shouldn't be behaving just because who's around. You know, so that brings up this issue as we segue into a next little part here. We have a hard time behaving sometimes, but we have some help. Look at this real quick. Let me read a couple things for you. The fullness of the Spirit is ultimately to allow the full work of the Spirit, which produces these kinds of things: peace, wisdom, holiness, grace, courage, power to overcome, to guide us, to convict us, to counsel us, to remind us, to teach us, to help us in prayer. But the fullness of the Spirit and the full work of the Spirit does not just happen. It is available. Everybody say available. It is available, but it is not automatic. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Watch this. The grace, everybody say grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love, everybody say the love of God, that's referenced the Father, and the communion, everybody say communion, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So we've got this, we've got grace attached to Jesus, love attached to the Father, and communion attached with the Holy Spirit. Now let me read it to you in the Message Bible. It says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God, and watch this next phrase, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is how it happens. Listen to me. This is how it happens. Not just that you're spirit born, not just that you're spirit filled, but that you have, we just read it, intimate friendship. Intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. It's also, we use the word communion. It means fellowship, partnership, sharing together, and intimacy. Folks, listen to me. You're not going to have a real chance at walking in victory, navigating through life properly if you don't have intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have intimate friendship with anybody, would you call them close? Would you say they spent time together? Would you say they would share all things together? And see, you're not going to have the full work of the Spirit in your life. And you may say, I'm spirit born and I'm spirit filled. But until you have intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have the full work of the Spirit in your life. Now, in Galatians 5:16, Paul said this. Get this verse, folks. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen to it in the Amplified Bible. But I say, walk and live habitually. That means it's a habit. In the Holy Spirit. Get this next phrase. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then, everybody say then. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. Let's be real honest here this morning. This evening. Do we not all have cravings and desires of the flesh? Yes. Cravings and desires of, how many of you know sometimes your flesh just wants to do this or wants to do this? Your flesh does. And you're going to have to deal with that as long as you have flesh. Amen. But how do we overcome those things? And I put in my notes, and I'm, just because it's so obvious here. So that's how you overcome the flesh. So that's how you do it. It's by walking habitually in the Spirit. And I love the way the Amplified Bible brings this out. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. This is something learned. This is something that you develop. Listen to these verses real quick. Ezekiel 36 verse 27 in the Message Bible. The prophet says this. I will put my Spirit in you. And make it possible for you to do what I tell you and to live by my commands. How are we able to do what he tells us to do and live by his commands? By the Holy Spirit that he gives us. It's the help from the Holy Spirit. And then in Ezekiel 11, verse 19 and 20 in the Amplified. And I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit with them in them. And I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God, that they may walk in my statutes. So that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, that they shall be my people and I will be their God. What is he saying there? I will put my Spirit in you and he will cause your heart to be sensitive and responsive to the touch of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something I'm leaning into big time because it's a responsibility we have. And you hear this and I talk about this on occasion. There's a danger, a huge danger to believers that are regularly in the Word, regularly in church, regularly in awesome worship services, a danger. And you know what it is? If you don't respond out of your heart, you harden your heart. When you come into worship, you need to worship God. Well, I've had a rough day and two people looked at me weird. Okay, so shut off the life flow then. That's smart. You know, or we just read because we're supposed to read, or we come to church because we're supposed. Listen, when you stop responding out of your heart, you start to harden your heart. And then we end up being religious and stiff and stale and bored and just doing things out of obligation. And God said by his spirit, he would take that unnaturally hardened heart out of us and put a new spirit in us and cause us to have a heart that is sensitive to and responsive to. You should have a heart, and I'm not saying everybody should cry, but one of the things for me I know is that I get touched easily. I get touched easily, and I don't ever want to lose that. And you know where you are. It's like if you hadn't felt anything, if you hadn't felt excited in prayer or a burden for somebody who's in pain or whatever, you know, you need to say, and I pray it every day, God, fresh touch from you. Fill me fresh and anew with your spirit. Work in my heart. And that's one of the great works of the Spirit, so that we're sensitive to and responsive to him. And the more sensitive and responsive you are to the Spirit of God, he said, you know what? You'll be able to do my word. You'll be able to keep my statutes, because then he'll empower you and guide you to help you to do that. So real quick, two things. I'll just write these words up here for you. Wait. Everybody say wait. And walk. Everybody say walk. This is what we've got to do. This is what we've got to do. Church, listen to me. Look at me. You've got to wait. How often do you think you should wait? I mean, there's 30 days in the month. How many days do you think you should start out waiting?
Every day.
You're going to have to wait upon him every day. How many of you want his help every day?
Amen.
And see, this is not just a little dab of do you, and we just call him when we need him. You need him all the time.
Amen.
You need him all the time. Some days are worse than other days. Some days are better than other days. But you know what? I don't want to go it alone. I don't want you to go it alone. He doesn't want you to go it alone. That's why he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always here. I'm always here. But what we've got to do to have the full work of the fullness of the Spirit in us, we're going to have to wait. And let me tell you what that looks like real quick. It's a daily time where you connect, reconnect, get filled again, cleansed, listening, getting in the Word, worshiping God. It's a purifier to worship God all by yourself. It's a purifier to just all by yourself lift your hands to God. It's a purifier to kneel before God, to even get on your face before God all by yourself, because then you're not doing it for anybody else. And if you want to dance before God, it's a purifier to do it all by yourself, because then you're not worried about, do you see me over here? It's just you and God, and it's a purifier to connect and reconnect and to worship and to pray and to ask and to wait and to listen. And don't just read the word, but let the word speak to you. And you know what that ends up in? Intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit as you wait upon him. And then Paul said, and we already read it in Galatians 16, and then walk and live in the Spirit, and you'll overcome the flesh every day of your life. Now, there's no way to finish all of this. I'm just going to kind of bring it to a close here. The power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Say power.
Power.
Say help.
Help.
Power and the help of the Holy Spirit are available to you, but they're not just automatic. It flows out of intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And the way to develop and live in that intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit is wait on him. Start your day. Start your day. Don't wait till the day's like half shot and you've already messed everything up. Start your day with him. He'll guide you. He'll help you. He'll shield you. He'll grace you and empower you. Wait upon him. And then walk in him so that you can have the power and the help of the Holy Spirit that flows from intimate friendship with him.